So, I keep making a silly mistake with my intros, but I'm gonna try again and say, this is Laura for Horse Lovers Only. And just tack that in at the front because I keep getting confused because I'm trying to be supportive with my horse supplies. And mixing them up because I'm not in enough of a habit of saying horse lovers only. So, just a minor correction. It's Laura for My Horse Supplies. I've decided to ask for a bit of a hand this time, and I have Debbie here. And we're going to talk about horse injuries and treatment and such. So,
Hi, Laura.
yeah, you need to actually like talk.
Yeah, okay.
Hopefully.
Okay, so I guess wounds, if we're talking wounds, then we can talk from your little wounds, the sort of things that a horse tooth will do onto another horse, which can actually be pretty big. You've got your little ones that kind of just are like a little nip, and then you've got the ones like Jethro did on James, where he actually did like probably almost a 6-inch slice,
And then,
right where the saddle sits, which
yeah.
then totally put him out of action with ridden work for quite some time because it was actually quite deep. It actually went through the skin, and down to muscle level. So if you run your fingers across there, he's actually still got a very small kind of, if you're really sensitive with your fingers, where you can actually feel where the scar was left from that.
Yes, and I know with Gift, Lucy took a big chunk out of her butt, like when they were getting to know each other, and I'm pretty sure there's still a scar there. Like, took a huge chunk. Like, actually, got some rump steak going.
Ew. Yeah. So with wounds like that, mostly they will be on the upper part of the body, so across the back or across the rump or in front of the hip seems to be another favorite area. And wounds like that, you kind of very, very difficult to wrap them, and generally they're not deep enough to actually need wrapping as such. They just take the surface layer. Quite often they just take the hair and a small kind of scratch, and just need a surface treatment. And for that you need something that will have some stickiness in it and actually make the provide a protection for the skin against water and that, to keep the surface of the skin just that little bit consistently moist, that allows the white blood cells to do their thing and regrow the any skin that's missing and regrow the hair back across that area. Unlike your big puncture wounds and leg tears and fence wounds and that sort of thing, which quite often are torn right into the flesh. One just the other day, the horse had been sold and they came to pick him up. The float was not the most well-built horse trailer in American terms, float in Australian terms. And when the horse had a bit of a freak out part way up the driveway, he actually managed to destroy part of the float apparently, and punctured his leg in doing that, and scraped a whole heap of skin off as well. So on the cannon bone, up across the hock on the back leg, so that that needs a different level of attention, different level of care. And does, for best results, needs bandaging, because there's so little muscle there, there's so little flesh, that once the skin is punctured, it's basically straight through to tendon and straight through to bone. And so, there's nothing from internal there to keep moisture level at the skin level, and so it dries out very quickly and will leave you with wounds that have no hair.
And nasty scars.
A nasty scar. So in that, you kind of really want to have a healing agent on them that will promote the healing and also keep the any bacteria and infection at bay, so that you can keep it bandaged as long as possible, because the less interference you can do with the wound, the better during the healing process, so that the body can send over its white blood cells and can actually actively work on the job of healing the wound. So traditionally, going back many years, when I was growing up, the opinion was that you kept the wound dry in order for it to heal. Now, believe those beliefs, if that makes sense, comes from probably your colder, wetter areas like Europe, like England, where there was so much moisture in the air and so much rain around so much of the time that if you didn't keep the wound dry, well, then it would get infected and the horse flesh would actually rot if it was wet for too long.
Yeah.
Here in Australia, where things, totally different climate, much drier, and so skin will dry out very, very quickly. The body actually needs moisture for the white blood cells to go to the wound to start the healing process, to clean up the damaged cells, clean out the foreign matter, and to defend against infection. So within a half an hour of the wound actually happening, the white blood cells are on their way to the wound to start repairing. And if you then turn around and dry that wound out as much as you can, well, then they get stuck and they can't actually do their job. So much better to let the wound ooze and even, supplement its moisture with an ointment that has the right structure to let the body do its clean-up job and to help with the tissue integrity with the skin that body and those white blood cells will actually help build.
Yeah, I've noticed a lot of your horse products are very caustic. Like, they're a lot. You do seem to find a lot of them are basically designed to burn away things. And a lot of the time people start putting on things that are like, this will prevent proud flesh, that are basically to get rid of proud flesh before there's ever even any proud flesh there. Like, they'll put that on a new wound that's kind of got a hole in it. And then I've actually seen a few horses that have healed with a hole in them because it's kind of burnt the flesh back, and that's a bit unpleasant.
Absolutely. And I think that probably also comes from that European origin, that mostly if a wound was wet, well, then it needed drying out. And if it's wet and wet for a period of time, like it would be there, then it's probably starting to form bacteria. And that bacteria would need killing off regularly during the healing process. A lot of those preparations also sting and or burn. They have a caustic base in them. Even something that's fairly innocuous like iodine is actually, again, it's a bacteria killing agent, which then means that it doesn't discriminate between the actual bacteria and between the white blood cells that are trying to do their cleanup job. And so it both stings the horse and it also slows down the healing process. So many people are, put up posts on Facebook and, ask questions about, how they can get their horse to stand while they do their bandaging and, cover the wound and all that sort of thing. And what's actually happened is that they've used products that have hurt the horse, and the horse is trying to tell them, you know, hey, look, that's not actually doing the right thing, or not helping me. And the person is just, because of their belief system, because of what they've been told, and the education that we get around how you manage horse wounds, they are actually, you know, believing that they're doing the right thing, where it's actually not helping the optimum wounding, optimum wound healing time.
Yeah, I do occasionally use, like, if there's an infection, I'll use a bit of iodine or a disinfectant, but like I'll try not to use it very often. I won't use it if there isn't an infection there. Like if the wound is dirty, I'll wash it off to start with, but then I try and keep it clean as possible and not get it dirty.
Absolutely.
We'll wrap it up here, say goodbye. Stay safe and have fun with your horses. And we'll pick it up on the next episode.
So thanks for inviting me to come and chat to you about wounds, and hopefully we can kind of get more into how we actually treat them and what we actually use a little later on.
Goodbye.
Bye.
I'm not at home at the moment. I'm actually house sitting for somebody else, and they don't have any horses, but they have a bunch of other animals, two beautiful dogs, and they've got a couple of goats, and one of them's pregnant, so we're kind of hoping she'll hold on and not give birth until they're back, but sounds like she's due the week before, so that might be a bit of excitement. Little nervous, but I have been around animals giving birth before, so hopefully it'll all be good.